Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Everybody, welcome in. It's another episode of Inside Boxing Live, episode 450, presented by PPV.com. Go follow PPV.com right now on socials. We have some fun fight announcements coming down in the next few weeks. It's going to be a real busy springtime and summer. So follow PPV.com, our proud presenting sponsor. You can stream all these fights that we have upcoming to any device. No subscriptions. Never going to ask you to lock in for a year. No different pricing and tiers and all that. It's just fight by fight. PPV.com, our proud presenting sponsor. All right, Chris, the cat's out of the bag. It is a new era of Inside Boxing Live. This is the last episode of Inside Boxing Live as we join the Uncrowned Network over at Yahoo Sports with Ariel Helwani, and the show will now be called Inside Boxing. Had a big announcement. It's been months in the works. Yeah, that right there, that Inside Boxing Live sweatshirt is now a collector's item. It's been months and months in the works. And we're excited to join the Uncrowned Network. Just a little few minor changes, different music, different logo, different name, same old, but better podcast twice a week. We're going to do some live stuff, maybe some more content on my end. But most importantly, Chris, with this new partnership, it allows us to remain independent. It allows us to remain unbiased, and it allows us to keep doing the show and keep doing it the right way, telling you how it is in this ever political boxing world that we're living in. So this is a new era. We've been through a lot of eras together on this show, and I'm really excited for this one.
A lot of changes, but also a lot of things staying the same. Like you said, what we say is strictly coming from our heads. We're not being scripted or being moved in any way, shape, or form. So this is all us, unbiased, as usual, which I know all you guys love. We got to hear that from everyone at our parties when we go to fights. People are always saying that we are we lack the bias that a lot of other boxing people tend to have. So, like I said, a lot of changes, but a lot of staying the same.
Yeah, man. Like, there's been three phases of Inside Boxing Live. There was the original 5 years where I did it solo with my dad and my brother as the producers, Inside Boxing Live. And then 2022, you came on board while I was working at John Boy. We had that phase. And then we left John Boy and we went to PPV.com. I guess it's been four phases. And now The fourth phase is Uncrowned with PPV.com. So we're joining forces, and it's great to be able to continue to do the pod. And yeah, man, if you look around at some of the other shows out there, it's no knock on our competitors and colleagues. You know, everyone has someone's paying for the pod to do it. Someone is sponsoring it, or someone is you're affiliated with a network, or you're affiliated with a magazine, or you're affiliated with something. So to be able to do the show without any of that, and that was a big selling point. Ariel's been a friend of ours for a long time, and I think that's what makes Ariel's show great, is he just tells it like it is, and game recognized game. I know Ariel was a listener of our pod. And saw that, you know, that's what we want to do. It's very important now. And now more than ever in the boxing world that we're able to give it to you straight and just say what we want to say about this crazy sport.
It's a perfect marriage. It really is, in terms of the mentality that we bring to, you know, to our show, and the way that Ariel carries himself and his show. It just made too much sense when it came up. It was like, oh yeah, duh. I mean, this is a great thing moving forward together. So, man, I'm happy. It's going to be exciting. I had a lot of people reaching out like, what's the big announcement? What's it going to be? Well, like I said, cat's out of the bag.
It's big for us. The listeners at home, nothing really is going to change on your end. The show is going to be available on Ariel's feed, which has a shit ton of subscribers. And we're going to be on Yahoo Fast channels. We're going to be embedded in Yahoo articles. We're going to be part of the Uncrowned Network. And they have a great team. I've been working with them behind the scenes for the last 2-3 weeks now to get this over the line. So if anything, the content is going to be better. You might see a few new overlays. The first official show is Sunday after Ryan Garcia, Mario Barrios. this is the last episode of Inside Boxing Live. It's a little sad, but
end of an era.
Cat's out of the bag. We were live for three episodes. The first three episodes of this podcast were live because I wanted my show to be like Ariel's show. So me and my brother.
Was I on one of the live
You
ones?
Might have been on one of the live ones. I think we canned it really fast.
Wasn't I show three? I think
you might have been one of the last lives because we canned it really fast because you need a full staff to do a live show. You need a lot of coordination. It was just me and my brother. You need people. First of all, you have to have all the guests line up at the same time or in blocks, which is nearly impossible. And then you have to be able to take those guest calls and then shift them in. And if Deontay Wilder decides he doesn't want to call at all, or he's going to call 2 hours later than he said he would, I'm sitting there vamping for an hour talking about absolutely nothing in the first ever episode. You got to go back and watch it. It's madness that we thought we'd be able to pull that off.
Getting fighters to do anything in a timely manner, it's literally herding cats. I had to do it for my book, and getting guys to, you know, jump on a Zoom for an hour and talk to me was so much time for me just waiting, kind of being like, all right, he's going to be late, I guess, and then going from there. But that's just how fighters work. I mean, I wasn't much better when I was a fighter either, but
I remember I was talking to Keith Connolly. I was trying to get Danny Jacobs on the pod, and I was like, hey, can you do 11 a.m.? He's like, oh, he doesn't wake up till about 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. What? He's like, yeah, fighters are the laziest people in the world, but they lazy, but also like the hardest working. Like,
yes. Yeah. It's I don't know. It's a weird lifestyle. Let's just put it that way. It's an alternative lifestyle.
Yeah. You're not like, hey, practice starts at 8 a.m. You better get here before the coach. See, no, you are the team.
Nah, bro, like, I'm the team. Nothing starts till I show up. That's the mentality that we have.
Yeah, I love it. So thank you to everyone that's been on board from day one, who've hopped on board along the way. This is a big moment for us, and it allows us to continue to do the show. So that's awesome. Let's move on. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. We have a big fight weekend. We have fights all over the place, all over the globe. We have Las Vegas, Ryan Garcia, and Mario Barrios, Ring 6. Is it Ring 6 or Ring 7? Ring 6, I want to say.
6 sounds... like that's ringing a bell in my ear. I think six is probably right.
Right. It's another ring event. It's a really good card. Headlined by Ryan Garcia and Mario Barrios. And then we have over in Nottingham, Lee Wood versus Josh Warrington, which should get your juices flowing early.
Domestic dust up. A little
should
domestic
get your juices
dust up,
flowing early. A little appetizer. Because that ain't going the distance, that fight.
No. No, not at all.
You got that. And then over on Sunday night, you will be heading over to Michigan, Detroit. Clarissa Shields, Franchon Cruz, DAZN. You're on the broadcast for DAZN. That's pretty cool.
I am. I'm looking forward to that. I've called Clarissa in Detroit before. Cool arena over there. Fans come out. Clarissa's badass. She's also fighting Franchon Cruz, who I really like as well. So should be a good little scrap. Gotta pack my coat though. It's gonna be real cold up there. Down here in the sunny SoFlo, we're pushing 80, getting tan. Not in Detroit, baby.
Yeah, we're coming out of it over here on the East Coast, but over in the West Coast, do we consider Vegas West Coast? Yeah, right? Because West Coast time, not really on a coast, but over in the desert, we have a big one in the welterweight division. Mario Barrios defending his WBC crown against Ryan Garcia. And Chris, I'll tell you right now, when it comes to picking fights, Ryan versus Mario is one of the hardest fights I've ever had to pick. Some fights just rack your brain. And this is one of them. You have Ryan Garcia, who's got the better God-given abilities than Barrios, but we literally have no idea what version of him will show up because we've seen the good, bad, and the ugly. And with Mario Barrios, pretty much the same thing. When have you seen a champion coming off consecutive draws? He's dominated fights, then faded late. He's not fought up to his abilities. He has looked sluggish in there. He's looked great in there. He's still a champion. I can't figure this fight out. I don't have a pick. We're going to learn. We're going to figure it out as a team today. We're going to figure it out as a community when I come at the end of this segment and pick my winner, because I've watched a lot of their fights over the last 24, 48 hours, and I have come away not really impressed and not knowing who to pick.
Yeah, I feel like we need that. We need that meme of the wall with the guy with all the strings and the guys.
Always Sunny.
Yeah, from Always Sunny. We need that one. It's like, to figure out these two and the way they match up. Yeah, I agree with you 100% when you say, like, this is the hardest fight to pick, because both guys are the most inconsistent. The only thing that's consistent about them is their inconsistency. So both of these guys, like, I don't know, man. This is a hard one to pick. I could see Ryan going out there and smoking him and literally starching him in two rounds. But I could also see Barrios stopping Ryan late, like breaking him in two later down in the fight and just breaking him down. And pretty much everything in between. So it really is a hard fight to pick, but let's talk strategery here. Okay.
Ooh,
that's
okay.
Strategery.
Strategically,
what would work best for each guy, right? So Ryan obviously is a fast starter, right? He can come out of the gate. He's very, very quick. He's got big power. He is technically a counterpuncher, though. So, but if he comes out and he starts getting that jab going a little bit, that pawing jab and that little bit of push-pull, a little bit of step back, and look to time the slower jab of an aggressive Mario Barrios. That's if he's aggressive. So there, I think, is Ryan's best shot, is that if Mario gets aggressive and gets heavy over that lead foot, which he tends to do technically, he fights with his head over his front foot and kind of steps into his jab, leaving himself exposed. We've seen him get countered. That's where Manny Pacquiao got so much success. He's able to pop that left hand through the jab of Barrios. I could see Ryan countering that, timing that. Ryan at his best has very good timing. And if he throws that lead hook over that slow, methodical jab, hits him on the temple, could be lights out early. So I think Mario Barrios needs to be cautious early and not be overly aggressive and walk into one of those big lightning shots.
Great analysis. I have some numbers and some more analysis to support what you just said. I went back and watched the Duarte fight, and Duarte really shut down his offense in that fight because he was very worried about what was coming back his way. When I was watching the Barrios last couple fights, Barrios has great punch stats. Like, if you just look at his numbers, because I'm trying to figure out why does this guy fade? Why is he always, like, in these dog fights? Why is he always, like, he dominates and then he tails off, or he just can't put it all together? And I'm like, all right, let me look at his stats. 56 punches thrown around. Very good number for the welterweight division. 37 of them are jabs. So he is a heavy jab-first type of fighter. Lands 8.5 jabs around, Chris. But if you peel that back and you look at those jabs, because there are many different types of jabs out there. There's a pawing jab, there's a lazy jab, there's a piston-like jab. Would you describe Barrios as a piston-like jab?
No.
Because you've put me onto this before when you said that he doesn't vary his jab. He throws it kind of the same lazy way, but he does throw a lot of them.
It's not. So Ryan, it's not that it's lazy. It's just not variable. It's not. It's not. It's not fluid. It's not. You know, it's coming. It's more of just like a battering ram, come forward, jab. Get, you know, like I said, he fights with his head over his front foot and just steps headlong into the shot. But it is busy, and he's just consistent with it. Just boom, 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 pumping that jab home, and he finds home for it. And listen, structurally, he's sound. He's actually physically, the way he lands his jab, it's a hard jab. You can see it. But it's not explosive. It's not deceptive. It's, you know, what's coming.
Right. So if we're talking about like the strategy here, but you know, we know that Barrios is going to come out and pump that jab. It's just what he is. I mean, it's the one punch that all you fighters like to lean on. It's like basics. And I know that he's going to be throwing that jab 40 times around, and, you know, anywhere between 30 and 40 times around. Now, if Ryan, like you say, he's a timing fighter. If his timing is on, and I have no idea if his timing is going to be on, because his timing was not on against Rolly Romero. I went back and watched that fight. Putrid. Ugh. I forgot how bad that performance was.
So bad.
That was one of the worst fights, aesthetically, I've seen in a long time. And it was sandwiched between a Haney fight and a Canelo skull. I mean, good gracious. Ryan looked awful in that fight. He looked like he was possessed by someone, I don't know who that was, inside of that ring. Completely different than we saw in the Haney fight, where he blows past the weight and tests positive for PEDs, which goes deeper into my thought process in here. And how do you possibly figure out a winner of this fight, or figure out what version of which is going to show up? But back to the jab of Barrios. If he's going to be pumping that jab and it's not varied, Ryan, if he's on, should be able to time that early. But Ryan doesn't throw a lot of punches. Over Ryan's last five fights, 24 punches thrown around. Two of 12 jabs, 5 of 12 power. That's paltry. That's the last five fights, too. That's Haney. That's Duarte. That's Gervonta. That's Rolly. And I'm missing one more in there. And that is Fortuna. Those are his last five fights.
So he has, what does he have, two stoppages in there?
Got the stoppage over Duarte, which looking back was a better performance. I think we were all
in hindsight. That's a very good win.
Yeah, we were looking back. Like, he did turn his back in times, it was a little awkward, but it wasn't as drastic as I remember. And Ryan was very measured in that fight and very patient and moved a lot too. But through that power, that right hand was so fast, so quick on Duarte and rocked him on the temple shot. But that was a stoppage. Stoppage loss to Gervonta, stoppage win over Fortuna, which was so long ago. It's hard to even use that in this experiment here. Then the Haney fight.
Fortuna is so small and old.
It was nothing. So. That was literally like a nothing fight. Yeah. And it was great. I mean, he hit a
big old
shot
nothing that, burger is what they like to say these days. Nothing burger.
Right. And then you have the Haney fight, which was, I don't even know how to judge that fight. But yes, Ryan, the last five fights has not been throwing punches. The only good thing in these stats from Ryan Garcia I've seen over the last five fights is he only gets hit with four power shots around. If you're going to throw 24 punches around and be really low, your defense better be on point.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't really get hit clean. It's something that he's DM'd me about and said, you know, I hate my jab numbers are off. CompuBox doesn't give me credit for my jab. And if you look at it, my defensive numbers are really sound because I really don't get hit. He goes, what fight have you seen me get marked up in? And it's like, yeah, I guess like the Gervonta fight, you got caught with a body shot, but like his defense is pretty solid.
Part of that comes from this height. He's really big and tall and long for all these weight classes, even welterweight. You know, he's in his fourth weight class now. He's still a tall welterweight. He's, you know, 5'10", 5'11".
Four weight classes, zero world titles.
Yeah, yeah. But to his point, yes, he does not get hit much. He is... us taller guys don't have to get hit. We can, if you can keep a guy at range. I didn't get hit a whole lot until the highest level myself. So part of that is his distance and range control for being a taller, longer guy. Also, he's got tremendous power and hand speed, which makes guys a little more offensively tactful. I don't want to call it saying what he's afraid, but yeah, guys are worried about his power. Gervonta said it. So I was like, I've seen it, you know, you watch these videos, this guy knocking people out. Like, I don't want to get knocked out. I don't want to be embarrassed. So it makes guys a little bit gun shy against him, which I think is part of that, his defensive prowess. But he's fighting a guy taller than him now. Never seen him in the ring with a guy taller than him. So that's another interesting caveat that's not getting brought up much because he normally has such a height and reach advantage. Rollies, he was a lot taller than Devin, but not, he doesn't have a longer reach than Devin. But really, he didn't really need reach in that fight anyway. But interesting to see how he's going to fight a taller man and how that plays into this.
Yeah, Chris, there isn't much talk about Barrios at all. I mean, if you go on social media, you would think Ryan Garcia is fighting himself. It's all Ryan Garcia. There's no Barrios. It's part of it. It's like this guy's constantly disrespected. I mean, he's the most disrespected champion, I think, ever. I mean, you got Pacquiao's wife saying, go fight this guy. DAZN is disrespected. I don't expect DAZN to go full bore into Barrios. He's not even with DAZN or with them. He's with TGB and PBC and all that. But it just goes with the theme of Barrios getting constantly disrespected. And I was thinking about this too. I'm glad you brought that up, the fact that he's tall. Like, this is the first time Ryan's actually fighting a real welterweight because he fought Rolly, which is – Rolly is welterweight, but he's a smaller guy. Haney, 140-pounder at the time. And, you know, Ryan blew past the weight, but Haney made the weight. Barrios is a legitimate welterweight that's fought at the weight for years now. That's another thing, too, we're overlooking with Barrios. So go over to him. I rewatched Barrios Ramos, which was on the Tyson card. And while it was concerning that Barrios let him back into the fight in the second half, like, he was dominating the first half of that fight, Mario. Mm-hmm. Pumping the jab.
Looked good.
Looked like a world beater in there. And then Ramos is right back in the second half of the fight. He's in this fight, and it turns into a straight-up dogfight. The likes that I've never seen Ryan Garcia in the type of dogfight that Barrios was in. So that's like, okay, so we know that Barrios can dig deep, even though the reasons he's digging deep aren't good. Like, you should not be having to dig deep with Abel Ramos. You know what I mean? Like, you should not be having to dig deep with Manny Pacquiao and win the 11th and 12th round.
Getting your eyes shut by Fabian Maidana. You know, like, he's been in a lot of scraps with that weren't necessarily tough fights, but he makes them tough. And even when he, like you said, even when he comes out to an early lead and he's pumping that jab and drops guys, he just allows the fight to slip away or to slip back into but that's why he's getting draws. You see fighters who have draws, they have a lot of draws because they don't know how to win fights. They get into that kind of that back and forth, that your turn, my turn. Mario does that.
Yeah, and I've never seen Ryan Garcia in a dogfight. No. Like, do you consider Haney a dogfight? No, because
no.
If anything, he allowed Haney to make that fight closer.
Yes. Yeah, because he just threw no punches in the fight and just would walk forward into shots. And the Gervonta fight was a dogfight, a shootout, and we saw how that ended. He quit. So, you know, he got dropped twice, and he said he could have continued afterwards. I went to bat for him, too, saying, oh, he didn't quit. He had a bloody nose, and he got hit in the liver. And then he comes out, and he's just like, yeah, I could have got up, but I had an injury. I was like, oh, man. So
The rehydration clause there. There's just so many asterisks. Rehydration clause there was a skeleton. I didn't even recognize him when you go back and watch that fight. And then the Haney debacle.
Rehydration clauses, guys, is you signed the contract. You know.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm still going to use it against him.
I know you can't pull that out after the fact.
No, but I just don't think that was him in there.
Yeah.
I don't know what Ryan Garcia is. What's his best win? What's his best performance?
So I was going to say probably Duarte. Luke Campbell. Luke Campbell was by far.
Still dropped in that fight, got up and won.
And fought like a dog. Never seen that since. Didn't see that up until that point because he never needed to. He blew through everybody. But then afterwards, we haven't seen him be like that. He showed a lot of guts and heart in that fight because he went down and got hit with a real good shot, pulling straight back with overhand left from Luke Campbell. And he got down and walked Campbell down and knocked him out with a body shot. That was super impressive. That's definitely his best win.
That was COVID era, Chris. They were wearing masks. There was social distancing going on. That's how long ago it was.
It's wild. 5-6 years ago.
I mean, so it's been a long time since Ryan's best win.
And two weight
that's the problem. Yeah, and that's the problem with the detractors of Ryan Garcia. And something that Barrios said in the lead up to his fight is that, you know, he's a big name. He's more named than Sizzle. He's more named than Fighter. But for Ryan Garcia, this is the final
sizzle
straw.
Than
this
steak.
Is more sizzle. Yeah, you like a black and blue steak. Sizzle on the outside, cold on the inside, Ryan Garcia.
I've never heard that analogy for her.
Did that on the fly right there. I completely winged that one. Nice. For Ryan Garcia, this is do or die. This is really it. I am very interested to see what version of him shows up. You can't give a guy this many chances before the public turns their back on him. And they're starting to see the public not as into this fight, not as into this title shot, coming off of a loss. Reddy has a loss to Gervonta. Some up and down performances, PED suspensions, blowing past the weight, gets the title. This is it. This is do or die. Ryan Garcia wins this fight. He is a world champion, and he will have his arms raised, and he will be cocky. Ryan Garcia loses this fight. I don't know which route he goes. Misfits? Streaming? Male modeling? It's very intriguing in that aspect.
Well, listen, we should not worry about Ryan's future in terms of being able to make money.
I hope he's all right.
He'll be fine. But in terms of his fight career, this really is his last hurrah at the championship level. I mean, that Rolly performance, that was for a world title, guys. People forget that. That was a world title shot. And that Rolly performance was abysmal. Oof. And now if he goes out and he fumbles this bag, because listen, I know what we've been saying about Barrios being someone who is just raked over the coals by everyone in terms of being disrespected based on, you know, the fact that he's a champion. He's the guy everybody wanted. He's the low hanging fruit in the division. He's the one that, you know, guys have been lining up. I want to fight Barrios. Paulie Malignaggi wants to fight Barrios. He's like, I wish I was, or he was a champion when I was around. And Ryan's getting it. So like, he's really getting, there's no alley-oops, but he's getting as much of an alley-oop as you can. If you miss the alley-oop, an open net, it's really hard to get that back.
Oh, this is perfect matchmaking. I mean, this is like perfect matchmaking. He wins this fight. He's a legitimate world champion. One knock on him is like, Ryan Garcia, will he ever win a title? It's here. It's right in front of him. He should win this fight. He is the betting favorite. Let's go over to the odds. He is -250 betting favorite in this fight. Barrios is sitting at +195. This is according to DraftKings. The over-under is set at 10.5. Mario by stoppage, +750. Mario by decision, +320. Juicy. Ryan by stoppage, +120. So Vegas is like, Ryan should get the stoppage here, +120. +240 for a decision by Ryan.
So everything's plus money?
Plus money across the board.
Everything's plus money.
Just choose your outcome. What is your outcome?
Dude, I don't know, man. Sprinkling +750 on a Mario Barrios stoppage. that's might be worth a sprinkle.
Like, here's the thing with Berrios is like he's got that dog in him. Like yes. He does have a little bit of dog. He has more dog than
gritty.
Ryan.
He's gritty.
He has more dog than Ryan. Like when I think of Mary Berrios, I don't think exactly like dog. I think of the things we just talked about before. Like
I think he's just steady. I think he's solid steady. All around. Everything. He's solid.
You could
all
depend
around.
On him. You could depend on him in a
dependable.
Fight.
Dependable. That's his nickname. Dependable.
You could depend on him in a fight to pump that jab 40 times and throw 20 power shots. If anything, throw more power shots. Dependable. Down the stretch, he can eke out rounds. Ryan, not dependable. He's the least dependable fighter out there. But he has the God-given abilities. He has that left hook.
Talent.
He's so freaking fast. Even when he doesn't, like, when he's throwing it, two different ways. He's throwing it with the opponent, and he's trying to catch them. He did that to Duarte a few times, and he's done that to Haney. When he throws it as like a lead shot, it's thunderous. And even if it's landing on the guard of the fighters, it's still landing and it's still doing damage. So that you cannot discount the God-given ability of Ryan Garcia, which makes this one of the harder fights to handicap. Because if you go off of that, it's like, all right, this guy, who got the intangibles? Who's got the God-given gifts? And that's clearly Ryan Garcia's speed and speed, which translates to power.
Yeah, and he's got an underrated right hand. He used it really well in the Duarte fight and the Gervonta fight. That right, he's got a nasty. He throws a right hook from the rear side. The thing is hard. And ask Duarte about it. Duarte is a really solid guy, and he stopped Duarte. He hurt him. He hurt him bad, and was able to finish him. But it was a right hand that started that. And Gervonta was worried about that right hand too. So the right hand's nothing to scoff at either. So he is a two-fisted puncher. There's no question. And a lot of that does come off of his speed. But what you said, I think, is really important. The willingness to punch with you. That's what a true counterpuncher does. And that's when you get hit with shots you don't see. And if Ryan hits you with a shot you don't see, man, you're going night-night. I don't care who you are.
Well, it's a lot of people think that's going to be the case in this fight. Ryan seems like he's taking it more serious, better. I don't know what the training was like because everything I saw was in the living room. And his dad is back in his corner, which we talked about in the last episode, not the best thing. Mario, we got Joe Goosen on the other side. I wonder if Joe can get that dog out of Mario more. And if Mario has a lead in the 6th, 7th round, can we see something different in this corner? Because for the last few fights or majority of Barrow's career, he's been with Bob Santos. I don't know, but Bob must not be with him at all in this one.
Good question. I'll ask Bob that.
I don't think he is, because I think he's in Orlando this weekend with Pero, who's fighting on a Box Labs card. Could be wrong.
Yep, that would make sense.
Easily text Bob. I text him quite often. So Goosen's the lead trainer. So that's something to keep an eye on, too. Goosen is an offensive-minded coach.
But is it going to make a difference? Bob was a very good coach, and he was saying it in the Packer fight. He said, stop touching gloves with the guy. Right before he goes out, just touch
him. Damn it.
And he goes out and he initiates the glove touch. So
he gave Pacquiao way too much respect. He's giving Ryan zero respect. Like that's good. Another intangible that we're looking for here is I think Barris is like, enough's enough, guys. Like, I'm a champion. I'm 30 years old. I'm in my physical prime. Yeah, I have had some great performances, but I'm tired of being disrespected by Jinky Pacquiao. I'm tired of being disrespected by Ryan Garcia. And all his minions, his streamer friends, and the internet, they're all over this guy. Is he going to come out and say, like, enough? That's very intriguing to me, too. Can he do that?
I mean, I hope so, because if you can't get up for this. So, okay, for example, we said, oh, Ryan loses this fight. Where does he go from here? Where does Mario Barrios go from here if he loses this fight?
Big time.
If you loses. Yeah, if you can't get up for this, if you can't feel disrespected by this, if you can't get a fire lit under your ass for this, what are you doing? What are we doing?
Well, you could say the same thing about Netflix fight. Like, that was a huge opportunity, and he faded. You say Pacquiao, massive opportunity, faded. Could you be physically, he just doesn't have that second gear.
Yeah, he definitely. He did win the later rounds with Pacquiao, but
That was close. I mean, everyone walked out of that arena like, meh.
Yeah.
He didn't leave any doubt.
no question. And Pacquiao was Pacquiao was redlining the whole time and fighting like as little of the round as he could.
I watched that. We were in the arena that night, so we have a way different vantage point than watching at home. So I went and watched it last night. I honestly could not believe that Manny Pacquiao fought last year.
It's insane.
He looks so old.
He looked 100.
Like when he was walking out to the ring, when he took his robe off, I was like, oh my God, this guy.
What are we doing?
47 years old. What are we doing? And he went in there and redlined, like you said, and nearly beat this guy.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. I mean, you look at their last two fights. Barrios ekes out a draw against a 47-year-old Manny Pacquiao. And then Ryan Garcia.
Who hadn't fought in 4.5 years. Who hadn't fought in 4.5 years. We got to add that. It's not like he's been busy.
And then you have Ryan Garcia with one of the worst performances in the history of CompuBox in terms of output. Dropped by Rolly Romero. Was a 12-1 favorite on some sports books. Dude, in his first title fight.
I did the tape study for that fight, and I was like, this fight ends early. There's no way Rolly's. He gets hit with left hands. He's been knocked out with left hooks. This kid's left hook is too good. He's too short. He's fighting up. I mean, Ryan just didn't show. He gets dropped and then just doesn't throw any punches. I mean, opposite happened.
When his reasoning was quite worrisome, too, is I didn't train. My body was still, I wasn't healed mentally,
that
physically.
That just came out, though. That initially, his problem was the walkout, right? Was the Batmobile thing was too slow, or like his drive to the, you know, that was the initial one. That was about 8 months long. And now this recent one came out where his body just wasn't taking in nutrients. And, you know, he was.
Well, that makes all sense, because the year that he had, he was out of the ring for a year. And then during that year, his life was out of control with all sorts of manic episodes, drugs, drinking. This all gets baked into the cake here with how you try to pick this fight. Let's go over to Chris's categories here for Ryan Garcia and Mario Barrios. We'll start with power.
Ryan Garcia. One punch power. Guy can really crack. And listen, Barrios is solid in power. He's physically strong. We've seen him do some damage. But in terms of these two, yeah, Ryan Garcia is the more powerful.
Speed?
Ryan Garcia, no question. Barrios is not fast. He is, I would argue he's pretty slow. He's pretty slow and steady.
Defense?
Ryan Garcia. We talked about it before. Ryan is underrated defense. He does not get hit all that much. Even when he's doing funky things like shelling up and turning his back, he still doesn't get hit that much. Barrios gets hit. He gets touched up. We've seen him damaged. His face has been damaged. He allows guys back into fights. No question. It's Ryan.
Oh, yeah. A punch that there is Barrios lands 35% of his power and also gets hit with 35% of his power.
Mexican warrior. He's in there. He's in it.
IQ. This should be interesting.
Ryan Garcia. Very high-level amateur. People forget Ryan Garcia's amateur background and his pedigree is very, very high. He fought all of these guys. He fought Devin Haney 6 times. They went 3-3 in the amateurs. He fought Shakur Stevenson in what was apparently a very close fight. Yeah, no, Ryan has a good IQ. He's very twitchy. He sees things. I think Ryan, his issue is not his IQ or his knowledge or his technique. I think he just gets over his skis and gets excited. He wants to knock you out so bad. He's a good knockout puncher. He's a knockout artist. He really wants to go for it. And I think he does it to the detriment of himself at times. So in terms of IQ, I'm still going with Ryan.
And then we added a category here because I think it's very important. Dog.
In this one.
Who's got the dog in him?
It's Barrios. We've been talking about this the whole time. He's been in tough fights. We've seen him not bend, not break. Ryan, we've seen break. Ryan broke. And I know, yes, he was weight drained and whatnot. Guess what? Barrios was weight drained against Gervonta too. I've talked to Bob Santos about that quite a bit. He said he was super weight drained in that fight. And he got stopped as well. He got stopped to the body as well. But he looked like he was trying still. He was still trying to win.
All right. Time for our predictions for Ryan Garcia, Mario Barrios. I don't know what words are going to come out next because I still don't know. I'm going with Mario Barrios by decision. I just think dependable, steady. He's going to be switched on. He's going to be motivated. He's tired of the disrespect. He's going to be pumping that jab. He's going to be defensively sound. He's more likely to win a dogfight late than Ryan. Mario Barrios wins a decision and tells the haters, get off my nuts.
He would never say that. He's such a nice guy.
He might.
I wish he would. But damn, they're surprising me, Dan. I thought for sure you were going to go with Ryan Garcia. Well,
Ryan's
going to,
if he sees this, he's going to be pissed. He's going to be in the DMs. He's going to be upset.
He's 100% going to be pissed at most of this episode, but it is what it is. We, wow, you really surprised me because I was I love going against you head to head in these kind of situations. If I'm on the fence, I will go the other way. But you know, I can't because I am out in the ether already in debating with this fight with Paul Amanaji, who thinks that literally, quote unquote, Mario Barrios sucks. I hate when he says that.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I hate when he says that because I don't like saying a fighter or champion sucks. But I'm going with Barrios as well. And I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of money on that late round stoppage. I think that late in a fight, the dog is going to be the difference. The Chris's categories, they're all for Ryan, except for that one at the end. I love that you added that one in there, that new tab, Dan, because I think for this fight, that's what's ultimately going to matter. I think Ryan is super dangerous early, and he could absolutely starch Barrios in the first couple of rounds. But Robert Garcia, I'm quoting Robert Garcia now, he said, if this fight hits the sixth round, Barrios is going to win, and Barrios is going to stop him.
Interesting, because we've seen Barrios fall off a cliff after the sixth round.
Yeah, but have we seen Ryan step on the gas after the sixth
round? No.
Everything's relative, right?
The ultimate decision, my tipping point was Barrios being able to find it late. And when I say find it, it's just a little more than Ryan has. And I just think he wants it more. And I don't think Ryan's heart is fully in boxing. I think he wants to be a world champion and all that, but I just don't know. And then, oh, man. It's a very interesting fight. I mean, we're all going to be tuned in because of all these reasons. It's Ryan Garcia is one of the biggest stars in the sport. For boxing's sake, it would be if Ryan wins, that's probably better for boxing. Think of the matchups that can come from this, especially when there's a belt attached to this guy. I mean, we thought Barrios was called out a lot. We have a guy that's worth more money than Barrios, and it is beatable. So Conor Benn, Devin Haney, Shakur Stevenson, anyone at 140 will be chomping at the bit to fight Ryan Garcia.
The Haney fight is just—it's undeniable. If Ryan wins this fight, that has literally everything you want in a fight. They have history together in the amateurs and the pros. There's beef there, and everyone speaks beef. There's drama there. The kid failed the drug test, didn't make the weight, blew the weight class, was acting like an insane person. This fight was actually good. It was a good fight. It was entertaining. It was back and forth. We were there. We were on the edge of our seat the entire time. And people forget, because all the clips that we live in a clip world, that fight was very, very, very close. Haney almost came back to win the fight. And Haney has turned into what he's turned into. He's the beast at 147 now. Man, that fight just makes too much sense.
And it's a unification. Champions. It would be a unification.
They're both champions. Yeah. Make that fight immediately. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that would be it.
That should be made in the ring. If Ryan gets his hand raised, that fight should be signed in the ring.
Dude, That was the plan. I mean, Rolly Ryan was a foregone conclusion that Ryan was going to win. Haney was there. Haney won on the undercard. He was there ringside. Ryan loses. Haney goes in the ring, laughs at him. What?
Ryan didn't. I mean, Devin didn't do himself any favors that night.
But he won.
He won. He did win.
He did his job.
Did his job. Yes.
Yeah. This is a Sunday conversation. If Ryan Garcia does win, the options are unlimited. That's our prediction. Should be a good main event. Undercard. We gave you an undercard preview on the last episode. We can quickly go over some of the odds. Hitchens -380. Duarte +280. You know, after rewatching, I mean, I probably shouldn't base this off of Duarte's performance against Ryan because he's a different fighter over the last four with Robert Garcia. I think Hitchens should win that one. I want to just go straight picks right now. I think Hitchens' decision.
Agreed. He should win the fight. On paper, it's a Hitchens fight, and obviously Vegas agrees. Yeah, but if Hitchens Duarte gets close to him, man, oof.
What'd you say?
If Duarte gets close and he's able to work on the inside. I think
there's going to be some real moments where Duarte is going to get inside. And Hitchens got a lot to prove. Hitchens by decision is -180. Not a lot of value there. Hitchens should win this. Did you see this? Andy Hiroka is just getting to Vegas like now on Thursday.
Mm-mm. Don't like that.
Visa issues.
From where?
Japan.
Oh, no. That's bad news.
That's really bad. That changes a lot of things for me.
I mean, I had Russell winning this fight either way, but...
But yeah, Hiroka was like kind of a sexy pick. I saw a lot of momentum behind him. You know, hard-punching Japanese fighter with some nice wins. And Russell is a guy that's going to be overlooked because of his inactivity. But Russell is so good, man. And if anyone can master fighting once a year, it's a Russell. Yeah. I know this isn't his brother. This is a different Russell. But still, that Valenzuela performance was unreal. One of my favorite performances of 2025. I like Russell late stoppage.
Yeah, same.
What's the odds on late stoppage? Late stoppage, Russell by stoppage in general is plus 150. That's nice. Ooh. Especially given that information that Haruka is dude, you fought overseas. You got to get there at least 10 days before.
Bro, I got there 11 and it wasn't enough. I
was for Macau, right?
Yeah, you need to be like 2 weeks, man. That's crazy to get in that late. I'm surprised he did his camp in Japan, fighting in Vegas.
Yeah, he should have got here way earlier. And like, apparently, there's a lot of visa issues now, or the way the everything's going with immigration and just everything politically. This is something we're going to see with a lot of fighters. Gary, 7-12 stoppage plus 280.
That's the value right there.
That's a juicy. I'll be putting some money on that. We got Nahir Albright and Frank Martin. Really like this fight.
Good fight.
I don't think Frank's going to stop him. I think Albright's pretty sturdy. Frank decision. Not a lot of value there.
No. This is it's not a very valuable fight either way, I would imagine. It's a tough fight. It's a good scrappy fight. But yeah, I think Frank, just being at the higher level, knows how to win, gets this through. But Albright is going to be in it, and he definitely survives. He's going to hear the final bell.
Minus 390.
I think it's actually going to be a close fight. I think it's a close fight.
Yeah, we're sleeping on Albright. This guy gave Keyshawn Davis fits and has fought some really good talent. Martin has that one punch knockout, which getting people excited. But you know, before that, he hadn't fought in 15 to 18 months from the tank fight till November of this year. Martin by decision minus 150. Martin by stoppage plus 330. So Vegas is leaning more towards a Martin decision. That's good. I like this fight a lot too. I think Frank Martin is a compelling 140 pounder. So is Russell. So is Haruka.
There's not a bad fight on this card. They're all good.
No, it's a really solid card. Very solid card. And that's that from Las Vegas. I'll be locked in. Probably go live for the co-main event, and we'll have a post-fight show. I will offer an invite to Chris. You can always join. It might be a Dan solo vehicle. I know you'll be traveling.
I'll be set up in Detroit watching the fight somewhere.
Jump into the party by any means. You're always
there is a good chance that I will just stay in my room and watch the fight. And if that's the case, I will 100% join you in the post.
Good.
Great. But I'm going to, you know, it's going to be it's a fight weekend. I'm going to be around.
But what is it to do in Detroit?
I got people in Detroit.
Prime and Proper Steakhouse. One of the best steaks I've ever had.
Amazing. Yep.
You would never guess Detroit. Unbelievable steakhouse. Detroit 2022 I was there.
Dude, that Detroit's a sleeper. There's some spots out there, and I got some people. And they're listening right now. What's up, guys?
Just got hitters in Detroit.
There's a I got my goon squad all over. Depending on what is to come that night, but yeah, more than likely I will be on the live post fight.
Love to hear that. Lee Wood, Josh Warrington. If Lee Wood doesn't knock out Josh Warrington, then something has gone wrong.
Well, why do you say that?
I just think Warrington's completely shot.
Is
plus Lee money Wood, to drop him?
Is Lee Wood not a little long in the tooth?
It's a battle
himself?
Of washed. It's a battle of washed. But Lee Wood, it's washed less. No offense to Lee Wood. He's been through the ring. Warrington is going to headbutt. He's going to foul.
Yeah, he's a rough cat. Rough cat.
Hit him in the nuts. He's going to hit him behind the head. He's going to hit him everywhere.
It's actually
pretty close line. Minus 160. Lee Wood.
I was gonna say I'm.
Am I wrong here?
I'm not so sure that your first statement stands.
I just look at this. I haven't put much thought into the fight. I'm definitely gonna be watching. It has zero stakes. This fight. There's no real ramifications.
This is for them. This is bragging rights.
Well,
and
this
money.
Crowd is gonna be crazy. Which is just
bragging rights
to me.
And money. Yeah.
The amount of like people that would show up for this just shows you how wild the UK fans are. They're the best.
They're the best. Listen, I probably would have kept fighting on if I could have fought like in this bracket. If I could have got into like the you know, out of contention group and fighting like other older guys and still make money and have people come out. But we don't have that here. We don't have that in the States.
We have Manny Pacquiao. You should have fought Manny Pacquiao on this exhibition.
Well, he for the years that I was viable, he was completely gone, not doing anything.
Now he's
back. If this was a couple of years ago, I would 100% threw my hat in the mix for either one of them, Ruslan or Manny or any of these guys. Well,
if they called you for Pacquiao this year, would you have entertained it?
For sure. Entertained it? Yeah. It's Pacquiao.
Man, that would have been so cool.
That would have been cool. But even like so who did the exhibition? Oh, when Hatton did the exhibition with Marco Antonio Barrera. That's so cool. Like I would have loved to do something like that, like with an old timer like that.
Yeah, you never know with the way this business is going.
True. True.
And I say business, I mean the whole fight sport. We have 39-year-old Ronda Rousey coming off a 10-year hiatus, fighting 43-year-old Gina Carano, coming off a 17-year layoff. Has that ever happened?
No. This is the world we live in. Is that going to sell? Is my question. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know the market. Like I think it's cool because I remember how big of a star Ronda was, and I was a big fan of Gina Carano because she came from a kickboxing background, and she's
hot
and she's very good looking. So there was that. Does it sell? You think it sells?
I think that Netflix and MVP have cracked the code on marketing. Names are just still big enough. The younger crowd doesn't really know Gina Carano. The younger crowd kind of knows Ronda Rousey, WWE. They know her from her run in UFC. But the marketing of Netflix and the marketing of MVP, and then they will make this a good undercard. I'm hearing a lot of good things about the undercard. And they're going to pay these fighters well. Like I think it's going to do really big numbers. As like the competitiveness of the fight, I think Rousey should win pretty quickly, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Like first of all, what weight class is this in? Because
I don't know. I think it's Gina's, just the weight class they fought at.
No, Gina's much bigger now than she was.
Five-minute rounds, which is...
No, we're not seeing insane. That.
The under on that, you would have to be like minus a billion.
yeah.
It's a one-round fight. It's not even really about the fight.
No, it's the names involved. It's the marketing buildup. It's the presser before. It's them jibber jawing back and forth. It's all this marketing buildup.
What it really means to me is MVP and Netflix are getting into MMA.
Good point.
And they're big, man. This is like nothing's ever going to touch UFC, but there's going to be we've seen the Bellators, the PFLs try and fail. Now Netflix involved.
Yeah, where are they getting? You said the undercard's good. Where are they getting the rest of the talent from? Like you're bringing two dinosaurs. You're bringing two dinosaurs out of retirement. Like I get that.
Nate Diaz.
Oh, so it's going to be all
GSP, Anderson Silva, Mike Perry, Jake Paul.
Most of them are all busy doing other fight sports. But yeah, I don't know.
One thing about MVP is they know how to do an undercard, and they're going to make it interesting. It's not really about the fight. It's about the marketing. It's about getting people to tune in. That's what Netflix really wants. It's interesting to see someone come in and try to take some of the pie away from Dana White and UFC. Ronda tweeted.
There's ever a time to do it.
Right. And Ronda tweeted the other day, like, we got Netflix behind us, and this should be fun at Paramount Plus and Dana White. But she's, like, fully leaning into the fact that, like, this fight is probably going to get more viewership than the White House fight.
Is that White House fight going on? That's happening?
Yeah, June.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be Ilia Topuria versus Gaethje?
Oh, Gaethje just had that big win. Yeah.
Which is like a big-time mismatch.
Yeah, I was going to say it. Gaethje's in trouble in that fight, no?
Right, McGregor might be on the McGregor might be on the White House card. John Jones.
McGregor's not gonna be on anything. He's not fighting. Get out of here.
It's interesting to watch. Obviously, boxing is our main gig, but I am like interested to see how this all plays out, like the business side of things, and huge debate this week on what this card does and what does it mean. And it got a huge response, good, bad, or ugly. That's all that matters. If you get a response.
Yeah.
Out of fight fans, casuals, sports fans, non-casuals, which the Rousey Carano fight did, and it's free and it's accessible. 300 million homes have Netflix. We're going to see a big number for this, like double digits.
I mean, you're so right about what you mean about like it's all about engagement. It's all about people reacting. That's what rage bait's all about. Like it doesn't even matter. It's like the slot content that we always talk about that gets all the views. Putting these things together, yeah, it's hard to fail. You just get people to react.
Yeah. Did you see Eddie Hearn went absolutely nuclear on Dana White?
I did. Eddie is really good at coming back at people. He's so good. He nuked him. But wait, listen, not for nothing. We didn't really talk about this because Dana just unprovoked went after Eddie and started and made it personal. Like talking about his dad and like I don't know. I would have pissed me off too, and obviously it pissed off Eddie. So Eddie came out guns blazing, and that's a tough out when you got Eddie talking shit directly at you.
Eddie was fired up, man. I had never seen him that fired up, which usually he's calm, cool, collected, and he will eviscerate you in like a British way and like well thought out, calm, regal. He was like, eyes were bulging out of his head. Yeah, I do work for my dad. Guess what? You work for your dad too. The Fertittas. And Turki Alashik is your daddy. And then he said something about his garage. He's like, you put on your 39-year-old Charles Martin fighting for who knows what in front of 110 people in your garage. Like, he was flipped on.
So you don't know Eddie personally that well. I've been around him. Like, I used to fight in his cards. I've been around him for, beyond interviews. Yeah, he gets fired up. He does get fired up. You know, rarely see it on mic like we did that time, but again, totally warranted. You got a guy attacking you personally for unprovoked. Did you see Clapback Thursday from Oscar? He just dropped it a few minutes ago.
He
tagged me in it.
He tagged you in it?
Yeah.
Oscar did,
yeah. And
bro, we're like part of his content now.
I mean, he puts us in there. We're not in it. Like, it's not.
Why did he tag you?
I guess just to get it out there. I don't know, but it was good. It was basically a shot, an entire video shot at Dana, and he was like teaming up with Eddie. Like, it was like, Eddie wasn't on it, but he was like saying, he's like, Eddie was right.
I feel like
and agree with
Eddie
him.
Would be like, hey, yeah, Oscar, I don't really want your help. Like,
no,
Eddie, you're suing your best fighter right now. That's what Dana. I think that was like the first question that got Dana charged up was, you know, has Oscar done a Clapback Thursday in a while? This guy's suing his fighters to, he's suing his own fighters to put on fights. And
the planted questions are absurd. Like, that's no one was going to ask that on their own. That's a plant question. Like,
oh yeah, they're very good at that. UFC. They're very good at controlling the narrative and teeing up Dana. And that was, he teed him up, and I thought Eddie made some good points that, you know, that I'm already in his head 3 weeks in. He's already making personal digs at me and my dad. Yeah, I did work for my dad. And I thought both guys had made good points. I don't want to be the guy in the middle and be Switzerland here, but I think Dana made some good points about how they're going to come in and completely take over, and we have the power behind us, and Suleiman puts his foot in his mouth, and a lot of these promoters have just take and not given back to the sport. Get that part of it. And then the other side of things, Eddie, yeah, he did work for his dad, but you cannot deny that Eddie took Matchroom to unprecedented levels. He took it from his dad and took it worldwide and is probably the best boxing promoter in the game right now. But at the end of the day, it's two millionaires fighting right over power and egos. And I personally find it hilarious. I don't think it's going anywhere. Like, this ain't stopping anytime soon.
No, not at all. And listen, Matchroom just signed a 5-year deal with DAZN. So this is not going to end for a long time. So I know we've been talking about, you know, what you just said about Zuffa and TKO taking over. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a long time. And this is a long power move, which is why, like, Dana coming out and trying to attack these guys and, you know, that another planted question of like, oh, did you expect more pushback? Oh, it's like fighting babies, which is a weird, very weird statement. But also it's like, I bet you all the opponents looked around like, what's he talking about? Why? No, we got shows coming up. Like, we're all doing shows. You're doing a show. We're doing a show. Like, no one's worried about, you know, each other's shows. They're just trying to get to the next show. The rollout of this year has been fantastic for boxing. January was a crazy month. February is a good looking month, and it's a short month. March and May is ridiculous. Like, we have so many good fights coming up.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone's worried about anyone else's one or two shows. Like, they're worried about their own fighters and their own rosters. They got a whole team of guys that got to get on there. You think Top Rank is worried about that? No, Top Rank's worried about finding a network and putting their fighters on things. Oscar's worried about, you know, keeping his stars. You know, he's got Ryan fighting this weekend. You know, Eddie's got a million shows coming up, just signed a new 5-year deal, wants to do 40 shows a year. Nobody's worried about another guy's show. They're too busy with their own stuff.
Yeah, well put. And I think if anything, the fans should just sit back and enjoy this, because competition breeds great results. And right now they're all competing, and the end game is for Zuffa to take over and put all them out of business. And then that's when things become tricky, and we'll see if we suffer as fans or if we enter like a great period as boxing fans. But for the next like 18, 24, 36 months, I mean, you're going to have all these promoters putting their best foot forward. We think, right? That should be good.
I think part of this takeover is fruitless, because boxing has so many tiers. And because boxing is such a great sport, it's so nuanced, it's so fun. Like, tough man was a thing because everyone wants to see a fight. And standing and punching with two hands is just prettier than going on the ground and wrestling around. So, like, you can do it with guys who have untrained. Everybody's going to watch. And then you got to go all the way to Bivol Beterbiev, which is such highbrow stuff on big guys. You know, it's just, there's so many tiers to fill. I think it's going to be really difficult for one entity to come in and take over everything. It'll take so long because you've got to be able to get the tough man to the Friday night fights, to the, you know, to the local shows, to the pro box level, show box level, MVP level, to, you know, top rank, Golden Boy, PBC. Like, there's so much market value, market share for everyone to actually be able to eat. And boxing is really good at filling in the cracks when, you know, there's like, there was a lack. We lost the ESPN Friday night fights. Pro Box TV came on. You know, MVP came out of nowhere and to make really good breeding ground for new talent. Matchroom came across the pond and made Matchroom USA and is doing big fights over here. So signing fighters. Yeah, it's such a complicated, convoluted sport with many tiers of watchable marketing, market value. So I don't know if trying to take over is really going to work. I know you're high end on, you're like, oh, it's going to happen. But
I go with how I'm feeling.
You're going with the tide. You're just moving in and out with the tide. I don't know, man. It just seems like it's too big of an operation to take over.
As we speak, Ara Hawani just tweeted out, we have another very exciting announcement on Crown. Inside Boxing with Dan Canova and Chris Algieri will be joining the family. I've been wanting to add a dedicated boxing show to the network, and it's an honor to team up with my favorite boxing podcast. They do it better than anyone. They'll be dropping shows on the feed every Sunday and Thursday, talking all things boxing. It's Ariel coming right from Italy at the Olympics, and then it cuts to us. So it's breaking news right here on the pod. So we are now officially part of the Uncrowned Network. This was the final episode of Inside Boxing Live.
Touch it up, Dan. Fist bump.
Nux.
Boom.
From this day forward, we are Inside Boxing. Every Thursday and Sunday, find it in the Uncrowned feeds on Yahoo Sports.
A new era has begun.
Very exciting stuff. Ariel, thank you, Uncrowned. Looking forward to bringing the goods, like always.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at the comments. Oh, boy. All right, should be a fun day of looking at
it. Don't do it, Dan. Don't do that.
It should be a fun day of reading the comments and seeing who isn't and for this, who is against it. We know who's for it. All the haters, we like you too. Just tune in. Yeah, so I'm going with Barrios by decision. Chris, you're sticking with your pick, Barrios by decision as well. Oh, stoppage, you said late, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go late. I'm gonna throw a little flavor in there. I have to go against you somehow. So I'll go late stoppage. He just breaks him down.
All right, so we'll be back Sunday, Saturday night, a live pod, and then Sunday morning, breaking down all things Ryan Garcia, Mario Barrios. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs.